Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Scripture this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Now concerning the times of the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, this is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who are drunk at night get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet of hope and salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whenever we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. May God's blessing be added to the reading of this holy word.
And amen. All right. As we search the scriptures from Psalm 90 and Paul's word to the Thessalonians and to us, let us listen for the good news. That's a part of the scripture today as well, for our time and in this place. What do the scriptures say to us today? Well, if you've been listening to the news lately, it's happening again. From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, we have certain Christian churches across the nation who are proclaiming apocalypse is at hand. Any day now, they're proclaiming that because of the natural and unnatural disasters, that they are for sure, that they understand that this time is upon us once again. Amen? How many times have we heard that in the span of our lifetime? Well, friends, every day is possibly the last day. Somehow the reckoning, located somewhere between each breath and each beat of our heart, in whatever theology you embrace. Whatever theology you embrace, we are one breath away from eternity, no matter how you look at it. And then listening to all of these wonderful folks that seem to have an absolute key into the mind of God in terms of this apocalypse and the tribulation and the rapture, there are some that are post-millennials and some pre-millennials, and some have one return and two return and three returns, and some before the tribulation and some after the tribulation. There's a book this high talking about this. But in fact, that is not what the scripture tells us in how we prep for the apocalypse. Actually, what we see, and I believe, is that as Christ came, who was God's wisdom for humanity, made flesh, walked the earth, crucified, died, rose from the dead, breathed upon us the power of the Spirit, and at Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit released upon all of us. And from that time on, the heavenly reign of Christ is in our midst. That we have the scriptures and the Holy Spirit in the activities of those of us who are disciples of Christ and following Christ. This is our call. This is the wonderful age in which we live. And hearing the words of Christ, we need just to stay awake and keep our hearts and our spirits open day to day, breath to breath, heartbeat to heartbeat. But not everybody sees it that way. Enter Bart Sinner. Now, Bart Sinner was an atheist who a couple of years ago decided that, well, if all these Christians get taken up in the rapture, what's going to happen to their pets? So as a joke, he established the Eternal Earthbound Pets USA. And he proposed a charge of $125 for the first pet, $20 for every pet thereafter, and that he was going to organize atheists and non-Christians throughout the U.S. who would volunteer to take your pets in case the rapture comes and you're no longer here. You know what? He did it as a joke, and he had 250 people sign up within the first 2 weeks. You got that? Now, I want to tell you something even more fascinating. After this joke was exposed and the website taken apart, there is actually two Christian people, a couple, who've created After the Rapture Pet Care, and they're serious. Now, this one doesn't cost you $125. This one only costs you about $10 to register, and they are coordinating people across the U.S., right now, mainly in the urban areas, but it's expanding, that for that fee, they're going to make sure that they make covenant with non-Christians and atheists in our communities who will take care of our pets after the rapture. Can you believe that? Some people have too much time on their hands. Can I get an amen? According to Jesus, we need to be a little less concerned with rapture and Rottweilers and a little more concerned with troubled hearts, a searching faith, and works in the name of Christ. So first of all today, we are called to be less concerned with rapture and Rottweilers and more concerned with troubled hearts. I was reading an article, it's a relatively new study out of the Mayo Clinic. Heart trouble is among us. In this study from Mayo Clinic, they followed 2,100 different young people, adolescents, for the last 20 years. So from kind of adolescence well into their 30s, they have followed their health situation. 2,100 for 20 years. And what they tried to study is the effect of having breakfast or skipping breakfast on the overall impact on your health, particularly your heart health. Guess what? After 20 years in the study, they have determined that those people who were raised in households in which they skipped or missed breakfast on a regular basis and continued doing that into their adulthood have higher rates of blood sugar problems, they have higher rates of cholesterol problems, they have higher rates of weight problems, and yes, overall, have higher rates of heart difficulty preconditions. Guess what? Your mother was right. Pass the oatmeal. But now to be clear, when Jesus speaks to us and says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, he's not talking about heart trouble, he's talking about troubled hearts. He's talking to us by a different type of heart trouble. The kind that can be classified as worry, fear, anxiety, and stress. The kind of heart trouble that can feel like a loss of hope, a lack of faith, a panic attack, and pangs of uncertainty. The kind of heart trouble that keeps you up at night thinking about your finances, biting your nails about the concerns about your children, adult or still adolescent. It's kind of heart trouble when you're on the phone with a friend craving advice for a crumbling marriage, or you're that person on the phone. That's the kind of heart trouble that Jesus is talking about. It's the kind that we have all experienced. It's that kind of heart trouble that tends to run in our lives, and the answer lies in what are you spiritually feeding your heart? And that's Jesus' call to us. We revere and worship a Savior who is not some kind of concept or a person locked in space and time 2,000 years ago. The Jesus who we worship and long for is the one who said to us, "I will never leave you." It's not a concept. It's a relationship who is alive today within us and beside us and does not forsake us. And is here to calm the beating of our troubled hearts. Sometimes I enjoy the wisdom of children. And the Reverend Mary Burgettaus, in a book she wrote, had an example from someone in her parish. It's both true and factual. And in her parish, she had this wonderful family. They had a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. And she tells the time where the 5-year-old, for Christmas, a 5-year-old girl, got a small portable doctor's kit. It had, you know, something in there to examine the ear and to depress the tongue, and even had a battery-operated stethoscope. Now, like any good 5-year-old older sister, she decided the first patient should be her 3-year-old little brother. And against some of his protests, she was checking his ear, double-checking his tongue. And then she took out the battery-operated stethoscope that actually worked a bit, and she put it to his chest, and her eyes popped open, and the parents were watching. Eyes popped open as she heard that heartbeat. And she looked up at her parents and said, "It sounds like somebody's running around in there." And the parents chuckled, was going to start to explain what a heartbeat is. And with that, the 3-year-old in the wisdom of the Spirit said, "Oh, that's okay. That must be Jesus walking around in there." That's simple, isn't it? But it is the bottom line that the child lifted up for us. And that bottom line is nearness to Christ. Christ is not a concept. Christ is a relationship who lives and breathes within us and among us. And we are called to be near, to in fact be the beating heart of Christ on this earth. Secondly today, according to Jesus, we are called to be less concerned with rapture and Rottweilers and more concerned with our searching faith. You know, we are called from cradle to grave to have a searching faith. That means we are called to keep our eyes open, as Paul said, to be awake, as the Psalm said, to have the wisdom of the heart to count our days. And as we do so, to keep our eyes open to see how God is working in our lives, in the ordinary life that we live every day of our lives, and to see with searching faith its wonder and its mystery. But often, we have more of a tendency to wander than to wonder in our relationship with this God who is as glorious as a field of lilies and as luminous as the light of 1,000 golden suns. We are called to keep that searching faith and insight and vision awake and alive according to our scriptures. Some years ago, Pope John Paul II, not long after he was elected pope, just a couple of years afterwards, was doing a huge youth and young people's event in Europe. He was there, a part of this youth event, for nearly 80,000 older, senior high school age and young adult college age people, nearly 80,000 gathered in the stadium. They had music performers and other things going on besides him addressing the community. And right before Pope Paul, John Paul spoke, a folk singer from the U.S. by the name of Bob Dylan made an appearance. They shook hands and were cordial before Bob went up on the stage. And as they did so, they even exchanged a few words. And then Bob Dylan went up and sang his classic old folk ballad, Blowin' in the Wind, and had a tremendous response from all these young people. So then Pope John Paul got up there, and he said, and with all grace and humility, but he took Bob Dylan on just a bit. He said to him, my friend, you say the answer is blowing in the wind. So it is. But it is not the wind that blows things away. It is the wind that is the breath and life of the Holy Spirit, the voice that calls and says, come. Well, obviously, those 80,000 young adults exploded in applause. And Pope John Paul was noticeably tickled. He was not used to ad-libbing, and particularly among 80,000 young adults. So after the roar of the thunderous applause, and clearly enjoying it, he went on to say, you ask me, how many roads must a man walk down before he becomes a man? I answer, one. There is only one road for humanity. It is the road of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way and I am life. It is our call upon us as disciples of Christ to keep that searching faith alive, to hear the wind of the Spirit saying, come, to see the road that God has placed before us and follow. Last of all today, we as disciples of Christ are called to be less concerned with Rottweilers in rapture and more concerned with human action in the name of Christ. And this sums it up for us today. We are called to know that Jesus is a relationship, not a concept. We are called to keep a searching faith alive in the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit who guides us. But last of all, then, we are also called to be aware of what we do with it. That we, as disciples of Christ, are the living body of Christ on this earth. We are the hands and heart of Christ as we make transformation and change and follow in the way of Him who created us and calls us. In that spirit, I was reading an article recently by Jim Wallace. Jim Wallace has had an incredible ministry. He has served as a bridge between places in our church that tend to be divided. They're divisive. They're even critical of one another and certainly not united. But he has been a bridge that calls us to those things that hold us in common. He was recalling a time in 1996. He was in San Diego at Point Loma College, Christian College. And the last presidential debate of 96 of Bob Dole and Bob Clinton, or Bill Clinton, was happening there in San Diego. And he said the whole town was buzzing. And when he gathered at this Point Loma College, which was primarily a conservative Christian college, most of the young people came from affluent, suburban, conservative Christian families. And he was supposed to speak to them before the debate started. So what Jim Wallace said is he went up there, and he spoke for a brief while, and then he started to take questions and said, "What questions would you like to ask the candidates?" And with that, hands shot up all over. Hands were shooting up, anxious to ask those questions. And he said most of the questions was what he expected from a basically conservative Christian affluent community. Some of them asked immediately about their stance on abortion. And another one asked about what they were going to do about taxes. And given most of these were just college students, you know where they got that question from, right? Others asked about the boundary issues with Bill Clinton and his choices. And so many of these questions that Wallace felt was normal for that constituency. And then Jim Wallace said, after that round happened, he simply asked those who were gathered, "What do you think Jesus would ask them?" And he said there was silence. Silence. He said you could hear a pin drop in this huge auditorium. And it was that silence that's not empty, you know what I mean, but full of meaning. And 15 or 20 seconds of it seems like 5 minutes. And then he said, finally, one hand tentatively was raised. And that person said, "I think Jesus would ask them about our care for the poor." Another one raised their hand and said, "I think Jesus would ask them about our concern on how we treat those who are handicapped and brokenness." And then that person added, "And I think Jesus would ask them to treat each other a little better." And another one raised their hand and said, "I think Jesus would ask how we deal with others on race." In his article, Jim Wallace concluded, "These were the same students who just a moment before had acted like anyone else of their race, class, and political party. But the Jesus question was raised, and it changed the outcome of the whole discussion." When the Jesus question is raised, it does change everything. So I close today by saying, if you have any concerns about your pet in the rapture, aftertherapturepets.com. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. That rapture starts, I'm grabbing Tucker, my Aussie, and putting him in my arms. We're going together. Amen? However, what we are called to be about as disciples, we are called to be less concerned with Rottweilers and rapture and more concerned with our troubled hearts, our searching faith, and our human action in the name of Christ. This ends the message. Thanks be to God. Go forth to love and serve your God and your neighbor in what you do. And may the blessings of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you always. And the people said, God bless you all. Go in peace. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day, and may God bless you.